You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program. We have an hour remaining of this afternoon's Q&A program. Well, speaking about Mufti Saab's Nasiha, the Nasiha currently is on number 1777. Mufti Saab will tell us more about that. And Mufti Saab will also tell us about the special programs that Mufti Saab has for the month of Rabiul Awal on Markaz Sahaba Online, Voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Mufti Saab.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we thank Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala and praise Almighty Allah alone. Yes, it is indeed the grace, the mercy of Almighty Allah. Man lam yashkurin nas lam yashkurillah. The person who does not thank humanity, in reality has not thanked Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. So today, as you mentioned, we are always one day ahead, so people must know what to do. So today was the 2nd of Rabiul Awal, according to the Nasiha, 1777, got nothing to do with the gambling and that. But anyway, so you must remember, we thank our Mawana Ahmed Dokrat, Hafizahullah, and we thank Mawana Khalid Yaqub, also mashallah, great research as well. And you know, if you go to our website, and there you will find a day in history, from last year, Rabiul Awal, till the end of Safar now, so till yesterday, mashallah, every day in history, 360 days, what event took place, you will find on Mufti A.K. Hussain, HOSEN.net, and at MarkazSahaba.com. So you go there, and very, very interesting. Secondly, always study the history. It will motivate us for the future, inshallah. And from tonight, from last night already, we started every night, alhamdulillah, between 10 and 11, Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki, rahimahullah, in English, discussing the Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, different dimension and aspect. And we ourselves also, inshallah, as much as possible, we will try and educate our listeners across the board so that the love for Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the information regarding the household of Nabi alayhi salam, the honorable wives, the children, grandchildren, the Sahaba, so we should know all these type of things. And then we will emulate Habibuna sallallahu Allah alayhi sallam in our daily life. Allah Jalla wa Ala give us tawfiq.
Jazakallah khairan for that. Mufti Saab, if one is unable to perform sajda, so the question actually reads as follows: can one give fidya for sajda, so if one is unable to perform for some reason or the other?
I think this person, yeah, is confusing issues, but anyway, we'll answer it both ways. Sajda, so if you did not perform it and it was compulsory upon you, then according to Hanafis, because sajda so is wajib and compulsory, then that person omitted it and did not perform it, then that salat is wajibul i'ada. You have to repeat that salat according to the Hanafi jurisprudence. According to the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, remember sajda so is sunnah, not wajib and compulsory. So if the person omitted it, the salat will be valid and there's no need to repeat it according to majority jurists and scholars. If you are speaking, my brother or sister, of sajda tilawat, so in a case like that, remember, same situation there as well. So according to Hanafis, sajda-i tilawat, you know there are 15 sajdas in the Noble Quran. Hanafis say 14. They omit the second one of Surah Hajj. So Hanafis say it's compulsory upon the reciter and the one who heard it live, we are speaking about, not recordings and so forth. So in a case like that, it's wajib. Immediately you do it, fine. You do it after 1 week, 1 year, 5 years, all acceptable. And according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, very good to perform it, but sunnah. So meaning, if the person passed away or he or she did not perform that sajda-i tilawat, then they passed away without committing a sin, according to majority scholars, the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's. According to Hanafis, that person had passed away wa asim, and he passed away as a sinner, but there is no fidya, no kafara, no penalty. You just make dua for the deceased. Ya Allah, that he committed sins, she committed sins. You forgive them out of your benevolence and mercy. So therefore, we implore you, beg you, daily to make dua for the deceased, because tomorrow we will be leaving and we will be waiting al-mawta kal-ghariq al-mutaghawith. You are there in Durban, and it's a wonderful day, I believe, in Durban today. Here by us, yesterday I was in Potchefstroom, 35 degrees, I couldn't believe it. So wonderful summer's day here in Johannesburg today. So you are there in Durban, and what you see? You are there by the ocean, and you see a person drowning, screaming, shouting for help. So the example given of people who have passed away already, كالغريق المتغوث, they are like people who are drowning and shouting, screaming for help. So what help we can offer them? We make dua for them. We give our charity on their behalf. We read Quran Sharif for them. We read tomorrow, Monday, you fast, the Sunnah fast. So all these good deeds you do, and you say, Ya Allah, I'm transferring the reward to my Abba, to my Ummi, to my beloved father, mother, and my teachers, and the entire Ummah and Muslimah. So all that we can do. So that is what we are supposed to do, inshallah.
This husband wants an update about yoga. He wants to know, can his wife participate? Is it haram?
Remember, yoga has religious connotations and does not have anything to do with the Islamic faith. If you go and study the history of it, you will see it is related, connected to the Hindu faith. So therefore, we as Muslims, it's totally haram to participate in it. And remember that you want to do exercise, you do exercise in your house, or you must remember that you the man, so you buy certain things for your wife because of our situation, yes, security, safety concern, and husband and wife, the bicycle and trampoline and us and what have you. So in the confines of your house, you do all the exercises, mashallah. There's no need for you to go to do this and that and trampling upon the Sharia. So people say, no, that I want to meditate. So meditate in your house, make zikr and muraqabah, you start thinking about what will happen at the time of death, what will happen post-death. Did you read the dua today? Read now. Allahumma barik lana fil maut. Allahumma barik lana fima ba'd al maut. Ya Allah, grant us barakah, blessing at the time of death. Ya Allah, grant us barakah, blessing post-death. So imagine so many things still to happen. So we should be begging, petitioning Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Not when that happens, then we start waking up. That happens to my son or daughter, whoever. From now, we should start preparing ourselves and our children and our spouses and parents and whoever else.
Breaks the nafil or sunnah fast. Is there any qadha for this? What's the way forward?
When a person breaks his fast, tomorrow you are fasting Monday because it's sunnah fast, and then 9, 10 o'clock you broke it, or 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now the question arises, is qadha compulsory or not? So Hanafis say yes, compulsory. So we ask the Hanafi scholars, what's your dalil and evidence? They said, wala tubtilu a'malakum, that you must not nullify your deeds and actions. We went to the Shafis, Hanbalis, and asked them, I am keeping that fast, Monday fast, Thursday fast, and I broke it bi uzrin or bi ghairi uzrin, with a valid excuse or no excuse. Now what happens? They say no qadha, compulsory. We ask them, jib dalil, give us some evidence and proof. They said, ma alal muhsinina min sabil. You just muhsin, you're doing something good. It's not something compulsory upon you, hence there's no qadha. Similarly with Nafil Salat, this morning you woke up 3 o'clock, up past 3, and then you read Tahajjud Salat, and then, for example, you had to rush to the bathroom, toilet, whatever you, and then after that you were not feeling well, or whatever it is. So now the question arises, the 2 rakats, must you repeat it? Yes, you have to repeat it. According to the Hanafi, same rationale, wala tubtilu a'malakum. Shafis, Hanbalis, and them say, no, you don't have to read qadha of it. Why? It is Nafil Salat, Sunnat Salat, voluntary Salat. Yes, if it's compulsory Salat, and then remember the wuzu broke and so forth, then it is compulsory that you have to repeat it. But in voluntary Salat, is not compulsory. That is the verdict of Shafis and Hanbalis. And Hanafis say, once you start Nafil Saum, Nafil Fast, Nafil Salat and prayer, then to complete it is wajib and compulsory. Hence, you have to repeat it.
Sir, what's the reason behind not being able to dye one's hair black?
Now you see, Kala is 60 years old and a daughter-in-law is 30, 35 years old. So Kala, the Masi, the auntie looks in the mirror and she say, "I won't buy a oat. I'm getting very old now." And she looks at the daughter-in-law and she looks like a smart tart, you know. So the mother-in-law wants to compete with the daughter-in-law and says, "Let me also now dye my hair and all that." So is that not deception? Secondly, in Sahih Muslim, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father. Do you know Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's name? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu arda, his name Abdullah. And Abu Bakr is his kunya and agnomen. Abu Quhafa is his father's kunya. And his name is Uthman, Abdullah bin Uthman radiallahu anhu. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Abu Quhafa and said, "Ya Abu Quhafa, your beard Mubarak and your hair Mubarak is gone greyish and whitish. So what must you do? Ghayyiru shayb and fajtanibi sawad." These are the words Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Abu Quhafa, the honorable father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that dye your hair brownish other colors, but abstain from black, because in that there is deception as well. So whether it's male, female, adults, all of them. So remember, we must abstain. Islam don't want deception. Man ghashana falaysa minna. This baji comes. It happened already. I know some examples. This baji comes and he dyed his hair and little bit small beard and all. And he came to propose to somebody's daughter. "What's your age?" He said, "No, I'm just about in my mid-30s, 35, 36, all that." So they fell for the joke, you know. And then they said, "Yes." Now when the wife went through his documents, she found the ID Baji is 49, 50 years old. But when he came to propose, because he dyed it and he made himself slim and trim, you know. So is that not deception? Man ghashana falaysa minna. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. People who deceive us, they're not of us. Therefore, we must be very careful in this regard. And you ladies especially, that the ladies and men also, but especially ladies, the business of dyeing the hair permissible, but not black. And to put all this rainbow nation color, one side the hair is pink, and other side is yellow, and other side is green, highlighters. So all that is shaitaniyat and not permissible.
So this person would like to know the virtues of those who fought in the battle of Badr and some history about this battle.
Subhanallah, Allah Jalla Wala reward you, my brother, my sister, for posing that question. I want you, asked me just now, Fizwadi, Barakallahu Fik, to you as well, that I want you, the esteemed listeners of Ansar International and of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to learn more and more about Siratul Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the honorable birth of the Master Alayhi Wasallam. Siratul Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam min al Mahdi ila Lahdi. From before the Mubarak birth of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right till the demise of the Master alayhi salatu wasalam. So let us take you for a journey. What is the journey? We're telling you what are the most important events of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'd al-hijrah. After the migration to Medina Munawwara, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives in Medina Munawwara. Wathani is named the second of the two. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu arda. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is the second of the two. First thing in the first year of the hijrah, Masjid al-Quba. Thereafter, Masjid al-Nabawi. Thereafter, the Azad. All this happened in the first year after the migration. First Muazzin, Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah, radiallahu anhu al-Habashi, the African. Sayyidina Bilal's mother, Hamama, radiallahu anha. So understand that this happened in the first year of the hijrah. Then second year, during Ramadan, 17 Ramadan, Friday, Battle of Badr takes place. I'll come to that because you want the details. And then the third year, in the month of Shawwal, the Battle of Uhud takes place, where Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu and Musab bin Umair, 70 Sahaba, became martyrs. And And the crown of martyrdom was given to Sayyidina Hamza, the chacha, Ammun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honorable paternal uncle of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third year, Battle of Uhud takes place. Fourth year, Battle of Khandaq takes place. Where Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu suggests, Ya Nabi Allah, and if you want the reference of this, open Bukhari Sharif, where he discusses the Battle of Khandaq, you will see if his Sanat Rabia is mentioned. And remember that this is the fourth year of the Hijrah, and that's the time Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naghzuhum wa la yaghzunana. Now we will wage offensive wars against them, and not only defensive wars. That was in the fourth year of the Hijrah. Fifth year of the Hijrah, Ghazwai Bani Mustaliq. Some ulama say Mustalaq, but Mustaliq is rajih, is better. So what happened then? Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she loses her necklace, and lo and behold, that the hypocrites and the enemies made wild accusations and allegations against her. Allah Jalla Wala to elevate Siddiqa to Bintu Siddiq, to elevate Mother Aisha radiallahu anha, reveals 16 verses for her, Surah 27 verses 11 to 26, to exonerate her and show, O Aisha Siddiqa, you are totally innocent. Your rank and status is even further elevated. And remember that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so elated, delighted, that Siddiqa said, Aisha, it was not only through hadith but through Quran that all this happened. So remember, this was in the fifth year, Ghazwa Bani Mustaliq. Siddiqa said, Aisha radiallahu anha loses a necklace first time, and ayats of Tayammum get revealed. Second time, ayats of Surah Nur get revealed. How special she was, Siddiqa to Bintu Siddiq. 6 years, Zulqadah is Hudaybiyah. Today it is called Shumaysiyah, just outside Makkah Mukarramah. O Hujjaj, O Mu'tamirin, O Zairin, when you go to Makkah Mukarramah, then go to Hudaybiyah. The masjid till today is called Masjidul Hudaybiyah. And from there you can fasten your ihram and perform Umrah from there as well. So that is 6th year. 7th year in Muharram is the Battle of Khaybar. So subhanallah, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is known as Fatih Khaybar, Haydar Qarrar. Sayyidina Ali, Sammatni Haydar. That he says, Sammatni Ummi Haydar. My mother called me Haydar. What is Haydar? The lion, the brave lion. And he went and he climbed there on the fort. We've been there with Allah's help. And remember, he took the one enemy, the enemy's name Marhab, and he finished him up in seconds. The greatest warrior of the Jews, Sayyidina Ali, finished him up in matter of seconds, not even minutes. Then he went up to the fort, Qamus, and he destroyed the fort. He, Sayyidina Ali, is known as Fatih Khaybar. So that happened in Muharram in the 7th year. In the 8th year, during the time of Ramadan, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Makkah. 10,000 Sahaba radiallahu an, and now the tables have turned. The landscape has changed, and remember that the idols are all going to be removed. Ja al-haqqu wa zahaq al-batil. The truth has flourished and the falsehood has perished. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his asa mubarak, stick mubarak, removing all the idols, 360 of them. And that was the turning point. Now in the Arab Peninsula, yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja is taking place. They're entering into Islam in droves and droves. In the 9th year, Tabuk takes place. Remember, 30,000 Sahaba, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, the greatest in his generosity for that battle. 300 camels with the saddles, 1,000 gold coins. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam yatahallalu wajhahu. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, is, will always be the most handsome, but on that day his face mubarak, countenance mubarak was shining even more. So happy with the generosity of Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani, Dhun Nurayn radiallahu anhu warda. In the 10th year, Hajjatul Wida, bidding farewell to the Ummah, la'alli la araakum ba'da ami hadha. Imagine your father, mother says, Beta, Betty, maybe we won't see one another. How you will cry? Sahaba, they loved Nabi alayhi salatu salam more than their own families. And now Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bidding farewell to them. Hajjatul Wida. And then in the 11th year, 3 months after Hajj, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wisal and wafat and the demise of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Monday 12th Rabiul Awwal, 11th year after Hijrah. So these are the events that you should by heart and study. Battle of Badr, remember that Abu Sufyan went to buy all the merchandise and he was returning. So they were the people called the Eve, the caravan. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to intercept them. When Abu Jahl heard about it, in his pride and arrogance, he brought army of 1,000 and they were already celebrating the wine, the dine, the swine, everything was already busy. And they brought the women to sing for them, all that. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا. Do not be like those people who leave their homes with pride and arrogance, referring to Abu Jahl and company. And lo and behold, Ramadan 17 Friday they met. That Thursday night, Laylatul Jumu'ah, when you go to Badr, my brother, go read Salat Day in Masjidul Arish. In that place there, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Cried to Allah, and the shawl Mubarak was about to fall. Said Abu Bakr Siddiq, said, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, enough, enough, hasbuka Ya Rasul Allah, enough, we are victorious. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried, Allahumma in tuhlik hadhi lisaba lan tu'bad ba'd al-yawm. If these 313 have to pass away and become shuhada, your name will not be taken again, Ya Allah. What a magnificent victory. 70 of the enemy dispatched straight to Jahannam, Abu Jahl and them. 70 taken captive. 14 Sahaba become shuhada and martyrs. What did the Sahaba say? Ya Nabi Allah, we will never tell you what the Israelites told Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun. You go and your Allah go. You go fight, we watching, we are spectators. Nay, we say, Ya Rasulullah, Salma shi'ta, Silman shi'ta, Waqta man shi'ta. You ask us what you want. You join us with whomever you want. You cut us off of whoever you want. We are labbaik, we are ready, whatever you say. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that victory will definitely come. If you go to Badr, subhanallah, this ummah, learn about this. Look at the sand around Badr and go to the place where the Ma'arika, where the actual battle took place. And look at the landscape, you will see the sand also is different. Look at Jabalul Malaika, my brother Sheikh Ibrahim Hafizullah. I don't know if you're listening in Badr. So mashallah, we go to his place there and Allah reward him and his family. So he doesn't understand very much English, but sometimes he listens. So anyway, you must remember that he takes us around and shows us all these beautiful, wonderful places. Jabalul Malaika, where the Malaika came down, and then the victory came to the Muslims. So that is Badr. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرِيُ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّهُ. Allah Jalla Wala gave you victory in Badr, although you were so few in number. The odds were stacked against the Sahaba. 313, Abu Jahl and company, approximately 1,000, armed to their teeth, and remember Sahaba, ill-equipped. If you take even the place, the water, everything was nearer for them compared to the Muslims. But Allah called it Yawm al-Furqan, the day of distinction, the day the criteria was made of haq and batil. Read, my brother, my sister. So we gave you about Badr. And if you want to know linguistics, that today is the first of Rabiul Awwal, and then the 14th night will come. So what you did you read the dua today? Read now. Hilal khairin wa rushdin. Ya Allah, make this month of Rabiul Awwal a month of khair and goodness, wa rushdin and righteousness. And when the 14th night come, look at the moon. That night is called Laylatul Badr. And look at your wife, and then you go for honeymoon that night, inshallah.
If the time for sunrise is at 5:14, when would Salatul Ishraq commence and when would Salatul Ishraq end?
If the sunrise is 5:14, that's what I understood, 5:14, then 8:15 minutes, so 5:30 or so, 5:29, 5:28. So thereafter you can read your Ishraq and it carries on for 3 hours or so. So if 5:14, 5:15 is sunrise, so 5:28, 5:29, 5:30 you read your Ishraq and will continue right up to 8:30, 9 o'clock. And no problem. And thereafter you start reading your Salatul Duha, what you call your Chash Namaz. But you must remember that people are not like me and you now, that remember they can adjust their timetable this way, that way. People are busy and they have work to do. So they working on tight, tight schedules. So in that way that you read 4 rakat Salat. You read 2 rakat first, Salatul Ishraq. And you read another 2 rakat, Salatul Duha. So all that is fine and you will get the full reward of Ishraq also and the full reward of Duha also. Maaf, what is the reward of Ishraq? Hajjatun wa umratun tammah. So when you perform the Ishraq Salat, you get the reward of Umrah and Hajj, accepted Hajj and Umrah. Open Tirmidhi Sharif, you will find it. And you read Salatul Duha, even 2 rakats. Allah Ta'ala's mercy, it encompasses everything. Wa rahmati wasiat kulla shay. Subhanallahu lahu biha baytan fil Jannah. Allah Jalla wala will bless that person with a palace in Jannah. And read after that, mashallah, ya Wahhabu, ya Wahhab. Ya Fattahu, ya Fattah. Ya Razzaqu, ya Razzaq. See how much barakah Allah will give you in your life, in your health, in your wealth, in your iman, in everything. We must be punctual and we must be devoted, dedicated.
That, Mufti Sahib, well, that brings us now to our final ad break. And after the break, we continue with the Q&A for the next 25 minutes. And thereafter, Mufti Sahib will be concluding the program with the Nasiha.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this is the final part of this afternoon's Q&A program. Mufti Sahib, is there any significance of dreams before Fajr and after Fajr?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Asdaqur ru'ya bil ashar." The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, meaning that dreams that are seen at suhoor time, sehri time, nowadays 3 o'clock, half past three. So those dreams normally are truthful. But remember that after Fajr and all that, you will not find that virtues there. But remember, a dream is not considered as evidence in Islam. So therefore, you should not just tell everybody about your dreams. La tuhaddith illa habiban aw labiba. Your dreams, you should share it and speak to people who are intelligent or you have confidence and you love that person. Then in that way they will give you the ta'bir and interpretation. People send messages to me because I don't have time also. So I just tell them, contact other ulama for your dreams and so forth. And after Fajr and all that and other times, remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dreams are 3 types. That one is Bushra, Bisharat. You see the Kaaba Musharrafa, you see the Baytullah, you see Masjid Nabawi. So all that, mashallah, is glad tidings for that person there. And the second one, remember, is that person, he saw something, snakes and dust and all that. Oh, terrible things. So that is Takhwifu Shaitan. The Shaitan is terrorizing them and the Shaitan is putting so much fear in them. So that is what happens in that case there. And the third one, the person who has proposed for that girl or that boy there, you know, sometimes the opposite. So all day and night they're thinking. So your subconscious mind, tahdithun nafs. So that is how Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about dreams. So what you should do before sleeping, make wudu, and inshallah you will be protected from all the evil and bad dreams as well.
This person had surgery on his hand and he wants to know, is it a must to make masa on the bandage part?
Remember that if you cannot remove that bandage, you know, in the good old days, you used to put that heavy plaster of Paris, and nowadays it's dog technology and what have you. But anyway, if you can't remove it and so forth, whether it is on your hand or on your feet or what have you, then you just make masa on it, it's fine. It's called masa alal jabira. And remember, the portions you can wash, so that you wash, and the remainder you just make masa. La yukallifullahu nafs and illa usaha. Surah 2 verse 286. Allah Jalla Wala has not burdened any person more than his or her ability, capability, capacity. And remember, don't must salat. Salat must be read. So in that way there, this is not tayammum, this is not something, you must make wudu. But that portion there, you just make masah, and that will just rub the wet hands over it, and that will suffice and is sufficient, inshallah.
Any specific du'as that a lady can read so that her monthly cycles can be regular and normal?
Read ya Fattahu ya Fattah, read ya Wahhabu ya Wahhab, read the Asma'ul Husna daily. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us chapter 7 verse 180. Walillahi al-Asma'ul Husna fad'uuhu biha. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has wonderful, beautiful names. Invoke and call Almighty Allah Jalla Wala by His beautiful names. Hadith Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Man Ahsaha Dakhal al-Jannah. Whosoever reads it, memorizes it, the beautiful 99 names of Almighty Allah will enter paradise. So inshallah, with the barakat of Allah Ta'ala's name, that your menses, your life, everything will come into order, and everything. We, everyone, should have a timetable. When you have this timetable, you will achieve much more in less time and minimum time.
This is a very common question, but it's from always from different people. The question is about vaping. Is vaping permitted?
Remember, whether you call it vaping, whether you call it smoking, or whether you call it pipe, or whatever you want to call, is not permissible. To buy it is not permissible. To sell it is not permissible. To smoke it is not permissible. I give you 3 Quranic verses. Number 1, Kulu washrabu wala tusrifu. Eat, drink, and don't waste. I'm asking you, is not wasting this? So you must remember that you are wasting money, wasting time, so many things you are wasting. Second one, people spend their hard-earned money, and this is squandering wealth. So you must remember, Quran Kareem teaches us, Innal Mubazirina Kanu Ikhwana Shayateen, chapter 17, verse 27, the people who squander their wealth, they are the brothers of Shaitan. So imagine. Third one, you must remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us that we must be people who look after our health. Wala taqtulu anfusakum. Do not go and kill yourself. So now you see you are harming yourself and you are killing yourself, that you go and harm your lungs, you harm your body. Therefore, even now on the cigarette boxes, people, they walk past here my house. So sometimes they just throw the cigarette box here and there. So we pick it up, then you see sometimes is written there, that harmful to your health and whatever is written there. So all the shaitaniyat is there, so not permissible. Look at Islam. Today they want to come tell us about human rights and animal rights and rights of the environment. Habibuna rahmatulil alameen, tell the world on 1st Rabiul Awwal 1442, who was Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mercy to the entire universe and creation. Authentic hadith Imam Malik mentioned in his Muwatta Malik. And what's that? La dwarara wala dirar. Don't cause harm to yourself. Don't cause harm to the environment. Don't cause harm to other creation. You know, people, they smoke and they stand with us in Salat. For me, it's a big problem that with that terrible odor, that stinking smell. But we don't say anything, you know, we just keep quiet. But remember, you're causing harm to the malaika. You're causing harm to the muswallis, people performing Salat. Third one, you're desecrating the sanctity of the masjid. You see the amount of harm you are causing? Definitely not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to get a mobile phone or laptop on a contract?
As long as it's willing buyer, willing seller, there's no interest and all these type of things, then it's fine. So whether it's a laptop, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's a car, you are leasing it or whatever, there's no interest. So then it's totally permissible. There's no problem with that.
I have another question that has come in. If you are on your menses, can you read any ayah from the Quran on a tasbih?
Yes, 100%. You don't even need tasbih. You got your automatic tasbih, your fingers. So you read on your fingers, you read on the tasbih, the rosary. Tasbih in English, rosary. So you read on that is fine. But remember, sisters, during your menses, you don't make intention of the tilawat of Quran. For example, you are reading Qul Huwallah. Or you're reading Surah Fatiha, you make intention of dua and supplication, not intention of recitation of the Noble Quran. So that would be permissible. Likewise, you're saying Bismillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that's Quranic verse, but you make intention of dua, supplication, not intention of reading, reciting the Quran. That during menses, not permissible.
All over the find people around the street corners asking for food and for money, is it permissible to give them food knowing that they are drugged or intoxicated?
See, people today, I just tell you, because we're coming to the last part. Today people, they got the manchapla attitude. Now you in Durban, I don't know if you even understand manchapla. No care attitude. Today I read Zohar Salat, you know. So my habit is any masjid I go to, I like to look at the board and see what's written there. So lo and behold, they got two boards, you know. Today is all time. So they got two boards, one chalkboard and one that computerized one. I look at the chalkboard, it's written there 30th Safar. And I look at the computerized one, it's showing 2nd Rabiul Awal. I say, Inna lillahi wa inna rajoon. Both are showing the wrong date. So when I went outside, I saw one of the Maulanas there in that masjid. So I told him, Maulana, you saw your board there. So he said, what's wrong? I said, go see the dates there. So he said, okay, we'll fix it up. So that is manchapla. That is beparwa. We don't know board. So today when these people come, we just want to get rid of them. Just take money and get out from here. That's our attitude. You understand? No. We must be to give them and give them some advice. So every day some people, they come here. Yes, today, yeah, it happened before Zohar. No, I came from Zakaria. Yeah. I came from Darulum Zakaria. It was 11 o'clock. So I had some visitors. So there's one youngster. So I asked him, why you don't sabenza? Why you don't work? So he started laughing. He knows why is he laughing. So you must remember, if you're going to sabenza, those of you overseas, you don't understand sabenza. Sabenza is that our local African language, it means to go work. Young chap, 18 years old, 16 years old. They laugh in my face because he know by begging, asking, you must remember, he will make more money than wherever he goes and work. So the youngsters were there on top, so I told him, go take these biscuits and go give it to him. So you see, we must not give them money. Give them advice. Give them food and so forth. Because you give them money, then what they're going to do? They just go buy more and more cigarettes, go and buy more daha, go and go buy puza. I always tell them, in a puza maningi, you drink too much. You say, no, you're half drunk. But he'll say, no, I'm in a high booza. I don't smoke. I don't drink. You'll think he's sober as a judge, you know. But you can look at him and see him. But our duty, lakamanawait, whatever intention you make, remember that is your intention. So don't give money. Give them food. Give them advice. That is the best thing we can do. We don't know when Allah will give them hidayat. And that same Allah can turn the tables around also. Today we are the giver. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. War breaks out, death breaks out. We saw with our own eyes. People who are millionaires will be reduced to pauper status. So rather we, al-yadul ulya, khayrun min al-yadis sufla. The giver is always better than the receiver. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif.
Is it permissible to have a personalized cover on the Qur'an-i Kareem with your name on it?
Remember, we would not advise that, because what will happen is your name is Yahya, Zakaria, Dawood, Ahmed, Muhammad, all that. You know that you're becoming a Hafiz, you're going to Madrasa, your name is Fatima, Zainab, and so forth. So sometimes you must remember that Mubarak name is mentioned in the Qur'an Sharif, because that cover is attached to the Qur'an also. So now you're touching that without wudu and so forth. So remember, that is not permissible. Secondly, with our children today, they go with the juzdan, they're carrying it, they go here, they go there. Sometimes those places are not even suitable to go to, but they're carrying their bags there and so forth. So therefore, to put, is like this, you know, soccer players, cricket players, they put in Arabic their name and so forth, Zakaria, Dawood, all. Then they're going to the toilet, they're going to the bathroom, they're going this. This is desecrating the sacred names of Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam. Definitely not permissible. That is, we must always show respect. Surah 22, verse 32. وَمَن يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whosoever shows respect and reverence to the sha'air, the symbols and the signs of Islam, that's a sign that people have taqwa through piety in our hearts. So therefore, imagine it's written there Muhammad, and we are just getting it how we want to and so forth. So that is showing disrespect, definitely. So Islam teaches us, ba adab ba nasib, bear adab bear nasib. With adab, you will learn lot of things, and without adab, you will lose lot of things. Ma faza man faza illa bil adabi, wa ma sakata man sakata illa bisu'il adabi. People went to great heights when they learned adab, and people relegated themselves when they became bare adab. They lost respect. They lost respect of their parents. They lost respect of their teachers. They lost respect of their elders. So a person like that definitely is curtains for you.
Would your salah be invalid if you didn't brush your teeth from eating food that has an onion smell?
Remember, if you ate this onions and all that things, you know, that they have bad odor and so forth, definitely you should be washing your mouth, gargling your mouth and so forth. But with that, you didn't do this and you went to the masjid or at home and you performed salat with that bad odor within you. So we will say that the salat is valid, but we will also say the reward will be diminished and decreased. Why? Because you're causing harm to the angels, causing harm to the environment, desecrating the sanctity of the masjid, very similar to the people who are busy vaping and smoking.
Can Mufti Sahib hear me?
No, just repeat, I didn't hear anything what you said.
Okay, no, I actually heard Mufti Sahib about the vaping and the smoking. Did Mufti Sahib conclude right there?
Si.
Can Mufti Sahib please advise the benefits of reading Surah Dahar and Surah Maryam for marriage? Is this authentic?
Remember, the Quran Sharif, every verse, every surah is authentic. 6,236 verses, 114 chapters, all authentic. But you must remember the purpose for which we are reading, that is called Amal. Amal means some pious people, awliyaullah, they tried it. Hence, they suggested to their family or students and friends that read this. I give you 2-3 examples. The lady got 2-3 children, and now she wants a boy. So now she reads Surah Yusuf. She got 3, 4, 5 boys, and now she starts reading Surah Maryam because she wants a girl. So we will say it is permissible, but we won't say it's sunnah. So similarly, yeah, that lady there, she's reading Surah Dahar because now she wants to get married, because there Allah Ta'ala speaks about Jannat and about, you know, the bounties of Jannat and so forth. So she reads. So we will say permissible, but we won't say sunnah. Oh, the boy, he wants to get married. Now he's 20, 25, 30 years old. So he reads Surah Maryam. Ya Allah, give me a pious, honorable spouse like Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu anha. So similarly there we will say that it is permissible, but not sunnah. All of you who want to get married, all of you who want pious offspring and children, Simple dua, not even 1 minute. Few seconds it'll take you, but read it 3, 4, 10, 20 times. So I used to read, until now we read. Today's all time again I read. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. That's the whole verse. Surah 25, verse 74. I want to show you something there. Rabbana hablana min azwajina. Azwaj is neutral. So it don't mean grant us wives. It means grant us spouses. Depends who is reading. The male is reading, it will mean wife. Lady is reading, it means husband. So translate it as spouses. And zurriyatina will refer to children. Male, female, boys, girls. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Whenever you look at your wife, you don't get tired. She still got that sparkle in her eyes. She's still happy with you. She looks at you, we're old and cold, but still she loves and mercy. That is qurrata ayun, that they bring joy to you. Waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. That, ya Allah, make us the imam of the muttaqin. In Islam, to ask position, to make me the imam and the captain, is not permissible. But yea, in this verse, Allah is saying, ask Allah, waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. Ya Allah, make me the imam and the leader. So, but for who? Lil muttaqin. So in reality, we are saying, ya Allah, make me muttaqi. Make me also very, very pious. So in that way, I will become imamul muttaqin for our clan, for our family, for our time. So ya Allah, make me from the pious people and the leader of the pious. So I can only become leader if I am pious myself. That is the lataif. That are the jewels. And we should understand every ayat of the noble Quran. If you just spend time on it, then you will understand what the miracle the Quran Sharif is for all times, all places, all circumstances.
How does one distribute one's late dad's clothes? Can you give it to the poor and family, or does it form part of his will and estate?
Remember that when people's father, mother, husband, wife passes away, then what people do, they're very emotional. They just want to start giving things away that's haram. Remember, everything of the deceased, male, female, everything must go into the estate. Number one will be burial, funeral expenses. Then you, the family, you take from the estate, otherwise you pay, or some family member, friend pays, it's fine. The debts of the deceased, whether it's personal, private debts, or whether personal debts, or business debts, corporate debts, all that must be paid to the creditors. Third one will be wasiya, for non-heirs, whether it's a person, whether organization, and maximum amount is 1/3, and that will be from the net estate. And then number four will be the shares of the heirs. So everything will go inside. You, the brother, sister, you just start taking, take. No, you can't. You must take permission from the heirs. And if they agree, yes, give it away in charity. All are sane, all are mature, and all gave permission wholeheartedly. Normally, what I suggest, everybody wants one nishani, certain sign, you know, certain that, like a thing that you want of your father, mother, that will remind you of them. I remember my father passed away, so I told my brother and sister, give me the watch and give me the raincoat. So mashallah, we all agree, so you take this, you take that. It's one sign, one remembrance of your beloved father, beloved mother, and so forth. So in that way, that you must do. Not just one person unilaterally start giving out. That definitely is haram and not permissible. And then remember, you must expedite. That is that giving out the shares to the heirs. We getting questions. Yeah, people are waiting for their shares 2 years, 5, 10, 20 years. Dada passed away, the father, the grandfather passed away. Now the father passed away, the children, grandchildren till now are fighting. All this is totally haram. Justice delayed is justice denied.
Mufti Sahib, when we are in the Haram Sharif and it is Salah time, is it permissible for females to join the Jamaat?
The females, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them the authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرُ لَهُنَّ, that is best for them to read in their homes. Nowadays we are Musafir or we go there. So remember that we stay in the hotels. So if they read there, they will get more reward. And Umme Humayda Sa'idiyah's hadith is mentioned in Targhib wa Tarhib, Sahih authentic hadith. She said, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love reading salat behind you in Masjid Nabawi, Ya Rasulullah. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I know. But I also know your house has got three parts. When you read salat in front, you'll get more reward than reading salat behind me in Masjid Nabawi. You read in the middle, your reward will increase. You read right at the back, your reward will be optimum. So even in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encouraged them to read salat at home. Now they say hotels. So anyway, if the lady does read salat in Masjid Nabawi, in Masjidul Haram, Haram Sharif Makkah, in Masjidul Aqsa, behind the imams, we will say the salat is valid according to all four schools. But best will be that they read salat in their hotels, so that will be more rewarding.
Well, we say Jazakallah khairan to Mufti Saab for this afternoon's Q&A program. Once again, a reminder, Mufti Saab is going to be touring Durban and surrounding areas from Tuesday the 27th of October right until Friday the 30th of October. Programs in Stanger, in Avondale, Amir Bank, Glenroad Sufi Masjid, the Juma program, as well as in Port Shepston. And I'm sure you will hear the other presenters as well reminding you about these programs that are going to be live on the airwaves of Radio Al Ansar, Markaz Sahab, online voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and on Sirius FM as well. Mufti Sahib will now conclude this afternoon's program with the Nasiha.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We are on the first of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 in Makkah, Medina, Masjid al-Aqsa, South Africa, and 99% of the countries. So what we need to do is this: understand hukukun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what rights Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has over us. So I will just mention few. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ. First one, we must bring iman. We must believe from the inner recesses of our heart in Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is non-negotiable. And then وَعَزَّرُوا. We must show utmost respect and reverence. When I take your name, Fatima, Zainab, Jamila, Abdullah, Hafiz Hussein, Wadi, so all that is fine, Abdul Qadir, Abdullah. But when we take the Mubarak blessed name of the Master, we must use honorary titles and names to show our respect and reverence for Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ishqun Nabi. Almighty Allah Jalla wala says in the noble Quran, do you know how much you must love Nabi alayhi salatu salam? Qul in kana aba'ukum wa abna'ukum wa ikhwanukum wa azwajukum wa ashiratukum. That say, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whether it is your parents, your children, whether it is your siblings, your brothers, sisters, whether it is your spouses, husband, wife, whether it is your families, in-laws, outlaws, wa amwalun iqtaraftumuha, your wealth which you accumulated, wa tijaratun takshawna kasadaha, and the wealth that you fear, there will be a business you fear, there will be a downturn in it, wa masakinu taradawna, your palatial homes, all this must be secondary. If any one of them tardonaha habba ilaykum min Allah wa rasuli wa jihadim fi sabili, any one of these eight items are more beloved to you than Almighty Allah, than Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, striving in the path of Allah, then remember for tarabbasu, then wait for Allah to unleash his punishment. Surah 9, chapter 9, verse number 24. So yeah, we need ishqun nabi, iman, respect, ishku Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa nasaru, and have the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam in taking the message of the messenger, peace be upon him, to all four parts of the world. Allah has made it so easy. We sit here and people in various countries, cities, continents can listen to us. With our phones, we just press one button, the message is gone to 100,000 people. But it must be authentic, and it must be according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَاتَّبَوُ النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ. Follow immaculately that nur, that radiance, that effulgence, which was revealed to the Master alayhi salatu salam, the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah and Nabawiyyah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the people that will be successful. So inshallah, what we need to do is follow that. And there are many others, reading Durood Sharif and so forth. Inshallah, we should be thanking all our directors, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, his family, make dua for his mother, she's not too well. And our Rabia Masi, Allah Ta'ala make easy for her and the family. Similarly, we thank our Haji Muhammad Yusuf and Hafiz Shabir Basha of the Radio Al Ansar team, the directors, and our brother Faisal Asmal and his son, MashaAllah Yusuf. We thank you, Hafiz Hussein Wadi, Barakallahu Fik. Our Bhuti Ghani, we thank him, our Muhammad Khan, Ye Lanesha, and Mona Ahmed Dokrat, and so many, our Telegram group, MashaAllah, Salahuddin and company. All might Allah reward all of you in this world and the year after. Quickly, in the 1 minute I have left, let me give you the breakdown. 4 o'clock, the Azan will go. Just after we listen to Hafiz Yusuf Kala, inshallah. So first that, and then the Asr Azan. And thereafter, Rabiul Awwal. So that is Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi. So after the Asr Adhan and after Hafiz Kala, and then mashallah Maghrib time and the surahs and so forth, and then 7 o'clock will be the repeat of the discussion with Mawana Salim Kareem and with Mawana Arafat. Then remember 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock will be the series by Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki every day, which we started yesterday. That is 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock Siratul Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May all Mighty Allah accept us all. Barak. And inshallah my brother Lukolo, we say thank you very much to him. We'll prepare the podcast and send it to me, inshallah, before Asr. Inshallah al-Aziz, then we will send it out to all of you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shukran and wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Sahib and to you, the esteemed listeners listening to us locally, nationally, globally. Until next time, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.